Yeah, I want to invite Orlando to come forward. So I learned yesterday that it's not Orlando, it's Orlando. So he can explain why in a moment. We want to pray for Orlando as he shares his story. It's a privilege to be able to just hear each other's testimony, and we get that privilege today. So let's pray. Father and Lord God, thanks for the opportunity to be together and just worship, and thanks for the story that you give to us. Lord, that when we just decide to start living life underneath the context of your grace and your mercy and your work instead of underneath our own context, it's really an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. But Father, I pray that you just bless Orlando as he shares his testimony, and bless us with just encouragement as we live our lives also. And so, Lord, thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I got to know, you can feel free to take a seat. So I won't make you stand for the whole thing. I started to get to know Orlando through a mutual friend that many of you know, but we started seeing each other at the bakery. And so we'd sit down and just have a cup of coffee. And he's been sharing a little bit of his testimony with me over the last year. And I've been encouraged because I go into the bakery and I see this guy. The first time I saw this guy with his Bible open, and I thought, I kind of like that guy. And then I saw him worshiping with us also. And so just hearing a little bit of his story over the last year has been a privilege. And I'm excited for you to also hear his story. Thank you,
Brian. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You guys hear me okay? Well, it is an honor and a privilege to be with you this morning. My dad was a Baptist pastor in Texas for almost 50 years. And I don't take anything for granted with a pastor sharing his pulpit, because my dad rarely did that. You know, these pastors, they covet their time with their members. And so I'm grateful to Brian for sharing his pulpit with me. Let me tell you a little bit about my dad. And this is really weird that things have come full circle. So my dad was born from in deep South Texas. We call it the Valley, in a little town called Alice. And he went off and joined the Navy when he was 17 years old. And his father didn't want him to, but he went off. And when he joined the Navy, now this is just, to me, amazing. He was assigned to the USS Missoula. Now, how about that? It was called the APA 211 Attack Transport. It served in World War II in Iwo Jima. And the men from that ship were the men that raised that flag in Iwo Jima. So I just thought that was really cool how here we are in Montana. And my dad served on the USS Missoula, which was named after the Missoula County. And I guess it's where the city of Missoula is, right? So anyway, it's cool how the Lord does stuff like that. And in sharing with you this morning, Brian and I met at the bakery. You know, the Lord was always breaking bread with disciples and going to eat with people. So what better way to get to know somebody over food, right? And so my sharing time this morning, I gave it a title. It's called FaceTime. And that's how we got to know each other. FaceTime, one-on-one. He looked in my eyes, I looked in his eyes. And that's we started fellowshipping that way. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us sharing FaceTime with him. And it wasn't until a few years ago, when I say you, relative to my long, you know, relatively long life, I'm older than you guys think. But I got married at the ripe old age of 46. And now I've been married 15 years, so do the math, right? And I grew up in the church, did all the, you know, in the Baptist church, so I did the RAs, and I went to the church camps, and, you know, all the stuff. I went to college, and I joined the Baptist Student Union, and I went through all the motions, and when I was a single guy, which I was a single guy for obviously a very long time, you know, I was head of the singles department at the church and all that stuff, but I never had that real FaceTime with the Lord. I was I love what you say, Brian. I was a Christian, but I wasn't a disciple. And so, you know, I wasted a lot of years. And I look, is it Cody right here?
Corbin.
Corbin. I see that he's going for it at a young age. I wish I had done that. Because I wasted too many years not doing that. But you know, the Lord has a way of redeeming the years. So better late than never, right? So I get married, and I marry into this really kind of high-profile family. I felt like I was Mr. Janet instead of she, Mrs. Orlando. And by the way, she just walked in. Hey, sweetie. My much better half. And so when you marry into this, I mean, her brother was an executive, one of the top executives with the Houston Astros. And everybody in Houston knew him, and everybody in Houston was trying to, like, you know, be his buddy because, you know, everybody wants baseball tickets, right? So I married into this family, and it's pretty intimidating to be around people like that. And I'm just this, you know, guy, you know, living in San Antonio when we met. And we get married, and immediately I knew something has to change because you cannot be put in a situation where now you're the head of a household and you have a responsibility. And a short time after that, our son is born, and he's a special needs little boy. And, you know, one of the first things that I did when we got married was, I never had HBO at my house. My wife did. And I figured out early on, at 10 o'clock, the shows change. And they get a little bit raunchy. And so she started, you know, she'd go get ready for bed, and at 10 o'clock rolled around, I was like, and then after a few days of doing that, I'm going, you know what, Lord, I can't do that. I cannot do that. I cannot be a leader of a home and a household and look at that stuff. So I said, sweetie, we got to get rid of HBO. She said, okay, let's get rid of HBO. So then a guy had given me this, My Utmost for His Highest. And I had read it off and on for a long time. And as you seek FaceTime with the Lord, you know, there's certain things you can do. One of them is getting rid of the HBOs in your life, right? That's one of the, whatever that might be in your life, get rid of it. The other thing is find you something that you can study, that you can devote every day to start the day right with Him. So I started looking at my Utmost for His Highest, and every day, I mean, I would read it, boom, boom, boom. So that started my growth. And so we move fast forward a little bit. So we're in the cattle business. And and we're rolling out our facilities at our place in Cameron, Texas. And we built a really beautiful sale barn where we're going to have all our cattle sales. We run Black Angus cattle down there. And something happened that night where I got my little nose out of joint because I didn't feel like we were treated fairly, you know. You know, they didn't respect us, you know. So I just got my little feelings hurt. And I said, you know, what happened here tonight just wasn't right. And I started, you know, complaining to my friends, you know, well, they didn't respect us, or, you know, we weren't included. So a few weeks go by with that stuff. And I'm here trying to grow and stuff. And the Lord says, dude, quit worrying about stuff like that. You have no control over that. Just concentrate on me, okay? Try concentrating on me and quit worrying about stuff you cannot control. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to concentrate on you. So a little more time goes by, and I start studying more and more in God's Word, and I get a call. And I get a call from a guy who says, hey, well, first of all, we got invited to a political fundraiser. Everybody goes to Texas to raise money, right? All these politicians from all over the country, they go to Texas to raise money. I mean, I met your senator, Steve Daines, there because he was there raising money. So I said, hey, we go to Montana all the time. He goes, yeah, nice to meet you later. No, he didn't do that. I'm just kidding. He was very nice. He was very, very nice. But anyway, so we go to this political fundraiser we were invited to, And this guy says, hey, this is Orlando. And he introduces me to Senator Cornyn from Texas. He says, he kind of wants to get involved with stuff. And he goes, okay, well, here, give me your card. So make a long story short, this is how the Lord works. I was all, like, bent out of shape because we were left out. You know, we didn't get included in certain things. Well, I get a call from a guy. He says, Orlando, you know, we've got some big elections coming up. I go, yeah. He says, well, we're looking for candidates. I go, okay. He says, well, we would like you to run for agriculture commissioner in Texas. And I go, really? So there's five statewide offices in Texas. There's governor, lieutenant governor, Supreme Court justice, railroad commissioner, ag commissioner, land commissioner. There's six statewide offices. That's it. And ag commissioner is one of them. And so all of a sudden, this guy calls me and says, hey, we want you to run for ag commissioner. I'm going, wow, oh, what an honor that is, you know? And so I share this with my wife and my brother-in-law, and we look at it for about 4 weeks, and we decide, you know what? It's just, it's a statewide campaign. I can't do it. But all of a sudden, you know, that status that I was wanting, right? You didn't respect us. Well, all of a sudden, boom, the Lord gives, he put me up just like that. When we trust him, he does stuff like that. When we start facing, you know, FaceTiming with God, he does stuff like that. And then I get involved with, then I get another call. It's this lady at a crisis pregnancy center. She says, Orlando, we hear that you're a great guy, and we'd like you to be on our board. And I said, okay. Well, I've been looking for an opportunity to serve more, and I'd love to talk about it. So long story short, I get on the board. I become the president of the board, and I started a charity golf event. And I started that 9 years ago. And we've raised over $350,000 for that crisis pregnancy center. So what I'm saying is when you quit looking at yourself and just looking at him, I mean, stuff changes. Stuff that, I mean, his way is so much better and higher than our way, but you got to trust him. So let's go to Revelation, if you'll look in your Bible, Revelation chapter 3. And I know a lot of people have apps. I'm not a big app guy. Don't like the apps. Can't make notes. You can't cheat with apps, right? You can't make little notes to yourself and stuff. So I'm a big Bible guy. So Revelation 3, 17 through 22. And it says, let's see, where are we? 19. 18. Let's just go to 19 through 22. So it says, those I love I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And then through 22, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. So God is, what he's doing is he's knocking at your door. He's saying, hey, I want to come in. What did he say? I want to come in and eat with him and he with me. And that's what Brian and I did. We hung out. We had FaceTime. We connected. And that's what God wants with us. He wants to connect with us. He wants to come in and eat and hang out and just get to know us. He wants to have that FaceTime with us. He had FaceTime with Enoch for 300 years. He hung out with Enoch for 300 years. They were like together for 300 years. How long can you hang out in church? 20 minutes? Is that your max? Is that what we do? We get up, okay, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this food, and amen, and I'll go. Enoch hung out with the Lord for 300 years. With Moses, with David, he hung out with them. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. 15 through 17. Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17. The Lord took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will die." God was hanging out with Adam. They were the only two that existed. They were like, boom, FaceTiming constantly. They were just hanging. They had fellowship. They were the only two guys around. And then Adam is in Eden. I mean, it is like the perfect place. Has anybody seen Lion King yet? Anybody go see it? I mean, that is amazing how they make those animals like human characteristics, right? And the settings that they put them in. I mean, it was just beautiful. It was perfect, and the animals were hanging out. That's kind of, I feel like Adam was just like hanging out with the lions and the tigers and hanging out in this beautiful waterfalls and just lush. And it was Eden, right? It was Eden. But God gave him one job. And all these people are thinking, okay, we're going to give everybody $1,000 a year for doing nothing. Adam lived in the most perfect place that ever existed on earth. And he still had a job. And his job was just this one job, to be obedient, to not eat from that tree. That was his only job, to be obedient. And he messed it up. How can you do that? Living in the perfect place, your job is to be obedient. He messed up his FaceTime with God. I mean, he had everything. Really sad, actually. So my question to you today is, how badly do you want to see God? How bad do you really want that? Do you want what he has for you? Or you want to be like Adam and just, you know what? I'm going to try something else. See what that's like. And then, as my pastor likes to say, well, how's that working out for you? You know, not so hot. And would you recognize God? Would you recognize God well enough in your life, the way you're going, to see that, yeah, he's talking to me? Would you be able to do it? Turn to Jeremiah 18. 18:15. Jeremiah 18:15 through 17. And he says, "Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways and in the ancient paths. They made them walk in bypaths and on roads not built up. Their land will be laid waste, an object of lasting scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of disaster." So have you, like, do you know anybody? Is there times in your life where you just like, God doesn't even want to look at you? He just, it's like, I don't even want to see that. Right? He turns his back on us. He says, I don't want to mess with you. I've had enough. I mean, there's times in our lives where that happens, right? I mean, we're human. But God says sometimes, you know what? I don't even want to look. Our little boy, he's special needs. I don't know how he learned this, but when he gets upset with us, he does this. You know? He'll go. I don't know where he got that. I guess maybe watching my wife or something. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes God, he gets sick of us, right? He's like, I've had enough of you guys. Now, I don't want you guys to think I'm here, you know, like Mr. Perfect. So we were at the Albertsons here in Livingston. And we have a special needs deal that we hang on the rearview mirror. And my wife goes in, Luke and I are sitting in the car. And we park in that really prime spot, right? Right in front of the Albertsons, right in the middle. So see, Luke and I are sitting in the back seat. But I forgot to hang the handicap deal. So this young dude comes walking by the car, and he stops, and he looks at me, and I look at him, and he takes a few more steps, and he kind of walks towards the back door window where I'm standing, and he looks at me. And so, okay, what's up, dude? So I roll my window down. He says, hey, my grandma uses these parking spots. Why are you parking here? And I said, here's Mr. Christian. I said, it's none of your business. And so you're like, here, okay, thank you. Instead of saying, oh, you know what, dude? Thank you, man. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I should have hung it up. No, I got all, you know, I got all bent out of shape, and I got hunched up, and I said, it's none of your business. And then I went and I got the deal, and I showed it to him. And I said, and then after he left, I felt like an idiot. I felt like a complete idiot. I go, okay, Lord, yeah, I got a lot of work to do. But you know what? We all have a lot of work to do. So go to Isaiah. Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to go backwards a little bit. Now, Pastor, you said that somebody's going to be saying amen. I haven't heard it yet, so I don't know. I'm just saying. Nobody said amen yet. Nobody has said amen one time, so I'm just, you said. Oh, by the way, now, we're from Texas. We're home of Tex-Mex. So who made the burritos? We're going to tell you whether those burritos are any good or not, because we know. So I'm just saying, we know what good is. All right, so we go to Isaiah chapter 1, 15 through 20. It says, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless and the widow. And by the way, let's remember that, the fatherless and the widow. We're going to come back to that in a second. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And they are red as though they're, even though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And if you're willing and obedient, and you'll eat the best from the land, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So he says, I will hide my eyes from you. We don't want to get there. We don't want to get to where, God doesn't even want to look at us. I mean, my son, he kind of does the same thing, We'll say, hey, Luke, we have a surprise for you. Cover your eyes. And this is how he covers his eyes. He covers his eyes like this. Cover your eyes, son. But God really, he'll cover his eyes when he says, okay, enough is enough. Let's go to Isaiah 2:22. Isaiah, just turn a page. Isaiah 2:22. And it says, stop trusting in man who has but a breath in his nostrils, for what account is he? So you got to stop FaceTiming with just people around you. You can't just trust in man. You can't trust in yourself. You have to spend time with the Lord. You just can't trust in people around you, people of power, That's one thing I've learned. There's a lot of people with power. You don't trust in those guys. You trust in him. Let's go now to First Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. And it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame. Bad company corrupts good character. King James says, bad communications corrupt good manners. The Greek says, bad companionships corrupt good morals. Who are you hanging out with? Bad company corrupts good character. If you're FaceTiming with the wrong people, you're going to end up doing wrong things. So I would ask, careful who you FaceTime with. Careful who you hang out with. There's these pictures that you can look at on the internet. I've seen them. in magazines. These people that are on meth. Have you seen those? Where they start out here looking kind of normal, and then as the longer they're on meth, you just see the gradual degradation of their faces, and they get worse and older looking and older looking, and they lose their teeth, and then they're just, I mean, it's unbelievable that within just 2 or 3 years, they went from being nice looking to like looking, you know, 90 years old. Nothing against anybody that's 90. I mean, I want to get there. But that's what sin does. Sin will take you from this. If you're not FaceTiming with God, that's what happens to us spiritually and sometimes physically. You'll go from this to this to this to this, and all of a sudden, you're gone. That's what sin will do to us if we allow it to. Ecclesiastes 9:18. If you'll look that up real quick, if you can find it. Right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 9:18. This is a really cool verse, only because it explains a lot when we see stuff happening in our world. Ecclesiastes 9:18. And it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. One sinner destroys much good. All it takes is one person, one thing, to mess up so much. Look at all these shootings going on in our world. One person, that's all it takes. One person destroys much good. And if you're FaceTiming with the wrong person for the wrong reasons at the wrong time, you can destroy a lifetime of everything you've been trying to achieve. So be careful about that one person. Be careful with what we do and how we do it, because one thing can destroy much good. And we see that all the time in politics, right? In leadership, in businesses, in people that they do this one thing and they've ruined their reputation. They've ruined their lives. So it sounds like, wow, where are we? Things are like going to fall apart. They're terrible. Okay, so let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. I love this, 2 Corinthians 4:16. And I mean, I can do it by memory, but I'm not. But it says, fix your eyes not on what is seen, and don't lose heart. First it says, don't lose heart. So outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are helping us to achieve an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So it says, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So do FaceTime with what's going to last forever. Don't be FaceTiming with stuff that's going to be just here around for a little bit. You know, be like this guy. He figured it out early, right? Maybe not. It's even look at me. Heck, I kind of figured it out late, but better late than never. But let's fix our eyes on what is unseen, because that's the only thing that really matters, right? The stuff we can't see. So let's go to James chapter 1, 26 and 27. Good. Me too. I'm putting myself through them. Let's see. James chapter 1, 26 and 27. Now, I've talked to some people around, both Dallas and Big Timber. I'd say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church. I'm okay. I'm good. I don't need to go to church. I mean, you know, I mean, Lord, we're good. We're good. One time there was a guy parked, and maybe y'all seen him over the years, but he was parked over at the where the Frosty Freeze, just across from the Frosty Freeze, selling fruit and vegetables and stuff. And he says he comes up every year from Colorado. And one time I stopped to buy some stuff, and I bought some stuff, and we started talking. He says, I'm an umpire. I umpire college games and high school games and stuff. So we started talking about baseball. And then I went to play golf which don't hold that against me, guys. I like golf, so, you know, please forgive me. I'm one of those guys. And so I thought, you know, I didn't even ask him if he knew the Lord. I said, Lord, I hope he's there tomorrow so I can go talk to him. So next morning, over there, and he's there. So we start talking. And I said, dude, let me ask you. I said, so you're driving back to Colorado, and you have a head-on collision, and you die. And you're standing before the Lord. And he says, you know, whatever his name is, what do you tell the Lord? Why should he let you into your heaven? He goes, you know, man, that's a good question. He says, I don't know what I'd tell him. And I said, well, I know what I would tell him. He says, what would you tell him? I'd say that one day in my life, I realized that I was a sinner, and I realized that God died for me, rose again, defeated death, and offered me eternal life. And I took, oh, yeah, I've done that. I said, oh, really? He says, yeah. And I said, well, what church do you do? I don't go to church. It's full of hypocrites. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's all full of hypocrites. I said, you know what? Jesus went to the temple that was full of hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. He called them whitewashed tombs. He said they were clean on the outside and they were dead on the inside. And he started doing that since he was a little boy. He went to church his whole life with hypocrites. Ah, well, I don't care. So, you know, here we are, we're a church full of hypocrites, right? It's like we'll get old Brother Thomas to come spray the church, get rid of all the hypocrites, right? Let's get rid of the hypocrites. Kind of reminds me of a story where this lady had lived in an apartment all her life, and she finally had saved enough money to buy a house, and so she's getting ready to buy the house and getting ready to turn the house back to her landlord. And so she calls this pest control guy up, and she says, yeah, hey, I want you to bring over about 100,000 roaches. And he goes, are you sure, ma'am? He goes, yeah, I want you to bring them in, and I want you to just let them loose in the house. And he goes, well, why are you doing that? She said, well, my lease says, you know, I'm supposed to turn the house back into the kind of shape it was when I got it. So she's just going to, like, give it back to him the way it was. So anyway, yeah, we might have to come spray the church and get rid of the cockroaches. But anyway, look at what it says here in James 1:26. He says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, to look after orphans and widows, which remember we said we were going to do that, orphans and widows, but it says, in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So, anybody that thinks, well, you know, I ain't never killed nobody. I ain't never raped nobody. I ain't never done this. I can take care of the widows and the orphans. Well, are you keeping yourself polluted from the world? From being polluted from the world? And how do you do that? How do you keep from being polluted by the world? Well, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just kind of go back a little bit. No, forward a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. Now it says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the word, the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So how do you purify yourself? Okay, so you're doing good things. You're taking care of widows and orphans and all that stuff. And you never rape nobody or kill nobody. Well, how are you keeping yourself pure? This right here. That's the only way to do it. The Word of God. That's how you do it. And if you're not FaceTiming with this thing, with this Word, you ain't pure. You're not purified. We're not purified. You have to purify yourself with the Word of God. And so you cannot exist outside the spiritual realm of that we live in, this unseen realm, right? Fix your eyes on what is unseen. Well, you can't do that and expect to have the benefits of our Father in heaven. Daniel chapter 2, we are going to go all over the place. Daniel chapter 2, we're just giving you a little workout here. Daniel chapter 2. 2:10. I don't think that's right. I think I messed up. Well, that's not right. I wrote down the wrong verse. Now, that's okay. We'll go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Watch your little criteria on me there, Brian. I mean, don't count this against me. Go to 1 Peter again. That imperishable seed that we have. Verse 23. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living, enduring word of God. So we're in the genetics business. Our cattle business, it's genetics. It's called genetics because we'll take the characteristics of this bull and this female, and we'll bring them together to try and improve the characteristics that cattle guys are looking for. So we have these things that are called EPDs, and what they're kind of like the sticker deal on a new car that tells you all the stuff that comes with that new car, right? So you get a V8, automatic, power windows, power brakes. Well, that's what the EPDs do for a cattle. They tell everybody what that animal is able to produce, and whether it's low birth weight, weaning weight, yearling weight, carcass characteristics, milk production, docility. I mean, any of those things. That's what those characteristics do for that animal. But it's controlled by genetics. So we have genetics too. And we had perfect genetics. But Adam and Eve messed it up. They had pure genetics. So they messed up the genetics from way back then. And God is trying to figure out a way to reconnect the genetics, to reestablish that genetic line. And that's what this is talking about. It's talking about that you have been born not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living, enduring word of God. It's good. Let's go back. Let's go to Luke 3:37. Luke 3:37. Am I going too long? Am I okay? 3:37. Now, it's going through all this long line of stuff about who the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of, the son of. And when you get to the very end, it says the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Adam was the son of God. Adam had God's genetics. And they were messed up when he sinned. So we want to become God's sons. We want to get back into that. Well, God can adopt us. He will overcome that genetic break. Thank God that he does. So let's go to John chapter 1, 12. I'll try to speed it up, Pastor. John chapter 1, 12. John chapter 1, 12. And he says, yet to all who received him, he gave those who believed in his name the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. When we believe in him, our genetics change. We become his child. A lot of times you see these catastrophes that happen on TV. Oh, we're all God's children. These politicians or TV guys, we ain't all God's children. I'm sorry. We're his creation, but we ain't all his children. We're his children when what? When we get the right, all who received him, he gives the right to become children of God. I was talking to a guy here that says, well, you know, the patriarch passed away, and there's land, and there's river, and it's valuable. But the relatives don't have rights. They don't have rights to that land. Yeah, but we deserve that. You know, we're part of the family. Yeah, but you know what, dude? You don't have rights. It ain't written. It's not on paper. You don't have rights. I'm sorry. Well, you know what? When we get part of his family, we have rights. We have rights to heaven. We have rights to eternal life. Okay, so I got to speed it up. All right. So what I'm going to get to is this. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, 12 through 15. Revelation 20, 12 through 15. And I've cut out a lot. I mean, there's a whole bunch I didn't go over, but we're going to get to the end. So it says, and another book was opened. Let's see. 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead, and they were all, and that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown to the lake of fire, and the fire, it was the second death. If anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he's thrown into the lake of fire. So, if you don't face time with God, you're going to face time not in the federal pen, not in jail. You're going to face time and eternity in hell. And there you go. He's talking about fire and brimstone. Well, I'm just telling you what's in the book. That's all I'm doing. I'm telling you what's in the book. So you either FaceTime with him right now and FaceTime and get to know him and let him be a disciple. Or you FaceTime. You know, I had a gallbladder removed. And before it got removed, I thought I was going to be tough. And I got an attack before I had surgery the next day. And I was like, and it says there's going to be weeping of gnashing and gnashing of teeth. Has anybody gnashed teeth lately? Have you ever had a gallbladder or something like that? Hey, it says weeping and gnashing of teeth. And anybody who thinks that they're going to just go to hell and have fun and party with their friends, you're going to be gnashing teeth. And I gnashed my teeth when that happened, and it wasn't any fun. So I'm going to finish with this. And two things. Numbers 6, 24. And this is the verse that really kind of got me onto the whole FaceTime thing. So go back to Numbers 6, 24. Well, I don't need to look it up. So it says, look, it says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he turn his countenance towards you. And may he give you peace. And you can't do that without, you have to try. You know, one of the verses we didn't read is, you know, there's a narrow gate. And it says, make every effort to get into that narrow gate. You have to make every effort to make time to FaceTime with him. And when you do, he's gracious to you. And he gives you peace, a peace that passes all understanding, right, Pastor? And he FaceTimes all of us. Now, there's the one last verse because of the discipleship thing. And go to John chapter 1. And it says, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, here is a man, a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false. And Nathanael goes, how do you know me? Jesus said, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus says, you believe because I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that. God sees you. He's got, you know, he's got that database, that book And if you're a believer, you're in it. And he sees you standing under that cottonwood tree. He sees you standing over there by the creek, you know? He's got his software. And he wants you to become a disciple like he called Nathaniel. Like you said, Pastor, he wants us to be disciples, not just Christians. He called Nathaniel, said, "Dude, wow, you saw me under the tree?" He says, "Dude, you ain't seen nothing yet." He said, "You think that's a big deal?" I mean, I found that out personally. Where the Lord has put me, he's put me in places. I would never have guessed in a million years that the Lord would put me there. But you got to trust him. You got to FaceTime. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, for these people, God. And as we pray with our heads bowed, Lord, if there's anybody that says, "Man, I want to do that. I want to FaceTime with you a lot more than I have," would you raise your hand? Is there anybody here that says, "I want to do that. I want to do that." Amen. Amen. Is there anybody here that's never known the Lord? And you don't want to FaceTime away from him, time and eternity. You've never done that. You want to do that. You want to raise your hand? Anybody here? Anybody here? So, Father, thank you for this time. You are so good. You're a good Father. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, go ahead and stand up and shake a hand and join us next door for fellowship if you're able. Thanks, Orlando.